Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back, rescuers, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian has a moment of self-reflection, Raoul is reassuring, Squash helps to find survivors, and Sultana gives her wife some advice. Back in Falsum, the team discover that one of their lethal foes has broken free. Whilst Aimer pledges to steal what is needed for Raoul, Adette opens up her heart to Sultana, who makes a surprising proposal to Adette. While helping to find survivors in the debris, Squash arranges a meeting to deal with Daichin once again being free. The only question really is, what is Daichin planning to do now? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
With your permission, I would like to just fast forward to Squash's meeting.
Yeah. Like I said, I think Squash is just going to be working on digging people out.
Yeah. Who do you want there?
Dana, Emil Scott.
Hang on. I have to write these down because there are voices for all of these.
Oh, shit. Whoops.
Yeah. Dana, Emil. Yeah. Carry on.
Grumsh/Demi.
Grumsh, Demi. Yep, okay.
And one second. Who the hell is Elazar?
Elazar
is the Loxodon, who isn't here.
Right. Where are they being?
There's no way she would have made this trip already.
I had their name written down as somebody that could possibly help, and I just couldn't remember who they were. So it's like, okay.
We should look into where they are.
Yeah, okay.
They're on a boat, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all just right. The three of them. Four.
I assume you want Laffian, Adral, and Sultana.
Oh yeah, of course, the full party.
Yeah.
Can they come?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Friends come over and play?
Do you think those voice actors are going to be interested in doing this scene?
The four of you find yourself in a small apartment above a blacksmith. This is Dana's home. It's very simple. There are chairs and sofas. There's not quite enough chairs for everyone, but Grumsh kind of basically summons one himself, or Demi does, you're not entirely sure. Sultana, during your date, Odette gets a message from Grimsh that you are both needed. Raoul, Laffin, you have been hunted down by Squash at some point. And all of you, Dana, Emil, Grimsh, slash Demi, find yourself in Dana's apartment. Now, I don't know what you're doing with this, Squash, so this is entirely in your hands.
All right. Once everybody's there and people have, like, exchanged pleasantries and whatever they do.
Grimsh just sits there looking angry.
Yeah, I don't expect
on a chair that is clearly too small for him.
Yeah, Squash is not waiting for Grimsh to finish exchanging pleasantries.
Thank you all for coming. We're here to discuss your vehicle's lifetime extended warranty.
Do you want shares in this property?
Squash, like, kind of looks around the room and then goes, we have a problem with no solution currently. Daejin is not only free of his bubble, we do not have another web of creation to catch him with. On top of which, catching him with it is just temporary.
Emma's going to ask Opella if Opella knows how we can get another web.
Okay. That's good. That's very good to start with.
We have the recipe for it. It's just very expensive and very time-consuming.
Which says that another was attempted a few days ago at the full moon, but it failed. We cannot try again for another 18 days.
That's what I thought I remembered. It needed to be created at a full moon. And according to the time windows we have, we're quickly and surely running out of time. When we decided to go after Daejin, when you decided to go after Daejin, it was decided that he needed to be trapped with something like Web of Creation because he couldn't be killed, he'd just be reanimated. What is that information based off? Why do we think that?
Dana looks at the lot of you and she says, I'm sorry, I think this might be a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't know. I tell you what, if you need me, you just send me a message, all right? I don't think I'm good to be here.
Fine. I thought you might have ideas or observations, but if you don't feel comfortable, I understand. I'm sorry.
Can I get an aura read on her?
Yeah, of course you can.
Is this just discomfort or is there something else going on? Dirty 20.
As you look at her and you study her aura intently, you see that it's kind of a mixture of yellows and oranges. She looks very uncertain. She has that very uncomfortable feeling about her, like she's just not happy. Imagine, or a little bit over her head, let's put it like that. Imagine you as a desk clerk got invited to the board of the CEO meeting about how they're going to deal with a disciplinary action on somebody else and asking for your opinion. She does not feel in her depth here. This is magic beyond anything she knows.
Okay. All right. That answers all I needed to know. I was just making sure that she wasn't unintentionally or otherwise on someone else's payroll, perhaps.
Well, no, 20, I guess you'll never know. I tell you what, why don't I go fix you all up something to drink and something to eat? So I'll be around if you need me, but I'm sorry.
Green tea, please.
Raoul, what do you want?
What? I was focusing. I'm going to try to go to the stalking again.
Right now, Raoul, in the middle of the meeting?
It's when I'm thinking about it, kind of, yeah.
Everyone looks at you a little like, okay, and Dana's like, all right, I'm just going to leave.
It tends to just like take a second. So it's kind of like a pop in and out thing. I can wait.
No, I'll wait. If you think it's...
Emil is looking at you intently.
If you think it might help with the future of this conversation, please, go ahead, Raoul.
I can try. And Raoul tries.
If I remember correctly, time passes right weirdly in the stalking, so I think we'd be fine.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
He like, usually just bloop.
It's fine. Bloop.
Bloop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Spectres. I can't see you, but how are you? Hope you're doing well.
22.
Yes. You find it a lot easier this time. Maybe it's because you're surrounded by company, or maybe because like you had a really good meal with Aimer just now. It doesn't really matter. You find it a lot easier to push through. As you do, you notice that there are kind of off to one side, whereas most of you are sitting on chairs and sofas and like there's a table in the middle of you all. You see kind of off to one side a huge amount of specters, and they're just sitting there talking. They're playing like this, they're playing a card game, playing Go Fish, and your specter just waves at you immediately and smiles.
Hi, specter.
Hi.
Ra has that look about him like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm probably going to disappoint you.
Like, they're all clustered here. Anyone you, just, you recognize and...
You just crashed their board meeting.
Yes. They're like, how the fuck do we get out of promotion? Like, yeah, you recognize all the specters that you've seen before and at least two others that you don't.
Okay. I'm going to go whisper to my specter.
He gets up and joins you. You see Laffy and Spectre just like look down her nose at you, like push her glasses up and just like shake her head.
I
like,
wave.
Well, she's screwed already. She does not wave back. She plays down one card. Sorry, picks up one card. Go Fish, my boy.
Spectre.
Everything okay?
I need one more hourglass, okay? I need to... I'll do it. I just need to know. I need to know where Dacian's is. I need it.
Oh.
How do I find...
Record scratch.
I just don't really know anything about him to be able to find it the same way, you know?
Right. If he does have one, and I'm not saying he does, we wouldn't know where that is.
And why? Are they not?
That is something that maybe Miracle would know the location of, but we don't know it.
I don't think I can find it the same way I found the other ones. I had to know the people pretty well, you know?
Of course.
I've seen Dacian like once. He was kind of an asshole the whole time. I didn't know really much about him.
He has sent many to us. He is an awful presence in our world. Raoul, we don't know where his hourglass is.
If we found it, and I got it, how could I use that to keep him away from us? If it's true that and you kill him and he is born again, does he get the new hourglass?
If he has an hourglass, it will break when it breaks. We don't control when that happens. We can help it break, but we can't break it. That's not...
What if it was really important that it did break, though?
That would be a miracle. We don't have that power, Raoul, and you definitely do not either.
I'll see about setting up a meeting then. Maybe. But I need to talk to everyone first.
Of course. I suspect... I don't know anything for sure. We will look into maybe finding that.
And you just see everyone else at the table. Most of them are like, yeah, we'll probably consider it. two of them at the table, Laffian's included, are just like, I don't want to do this job any longer than we... Okay. I'm already stuck in purgatory. Great. Yeah, he looks very unsure. And as he's like, we will look into it and looks over at everyone else, you find yourself being pushed back into the physical plane. For those of you in the physical plane, it's probably been a couple of minutes. No, like a couple of seconds, my bad.
Rawls says out loud when he comes back, okay, Spectre, don't get yourself in trouble.
What?
I'll do the things, Spectre. Okay.
So how'd it go?
I'm trying to... I can't find Dacians the same way, so they can't find it either. So I think if they can't find it, I don't think I can certainly ever find it. They think it might be a miracle thing. So maybe I will set up a meeting.
As I understand it, only Miracle would be the only one to break our glasses.
I just want to, before that, you know, make sure that we know that we'll do, you know, do something.
Okay.
Because you said he would be born again, right?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the conversation was that if Dacians had his body destroyed, he'd just be reborn somewhere on the in Bikron.
But what about his hourglass? Does a new one get made when he is reborn? What happens? Also, if we do anything with that, I think it's, like I said, I think Miracle has it. They said that we weren't powerful enough to destroy it. Miracle would have to destroy it. But Miracle's a god, and also we know some gods. And Rawl kind of looks at Zoltana. So I think we'll be fine. I think we can probably destroy it. But we do have to, like...
I'm pretty powerful. I could probably do it.
We do have to figure out if that's going to keep him away, though. If that's going to solve this problem.
It's not going to solve the problem. The main issue is that because Dacian is considered just a small piece of the Blissful Eclipse, even if we were to kill him, it would just rejoin with the main host of the Blissful Eclipse, and a new piece can be sent off to come here. And at that point, then, we have no clue who it is at all.
Emil kind of like taps the table. He has like his cane with him. He kind of like taps the table with it and he says,
consider Dacian much like we consider the avatars we're about to become. He is part of a bigger whole. He had to have been partially cut off for them to be able to function in our world. Since the Sentinel Plane wraps our existence, if there were to be an anchor, perhaps it's there. It's just a theory. Perhaps it's an hourglass, or perhaps not. We are not sure. If we destroy that, then yes, you are correct, Laffian. They very much could put another piece down in our existence. And he is only part of a bigger whole.
Sorry, go back to that. You said anchor.
Yes.
What are you talking about there?
The Blissful Eclipse. To find us. To reach us, to constantly reset itself if Dacian's form were to be destroyed, would need a way of finding this location again, to either send something new or to create something here. Of this, we are not sure. We haven't found it yet to know for sure.
Okay, you might not have the answer to this question, but where did this anchor come from? How did Dacian enter our reality for the first time? Was the anchor what let him in? I know destroying the anchor is not going to stop the Blissful Eclipse, but I think maybe thinking about where the anchor came from might help us figure out what it is.
Grimsh pipes up and he says,
currently, because the borders around our existence are not as strong as they should be, anything of the same power as our dear Sentinels can pass in and out of this membrane. The Sentinels can leave, mortals too sometimes, but we gods cannot. If the blissful eclipse was looking and saw our existence, a very small part of it could easily pass through our shell. It wouldn't take a lot. It is why the Sentinels are working to reinforce this.
So Dayton was thrown here without an anchor, and he built his own.
That is what the witch theorizes, yes? It is what sparked her imagination to how to make mortal avatars, just in reverse.
How do we find out where Dayton landed when he first came to our reality? Because if I understand his motives, I would assume the very first thing he did was create an anchor.
My siblings and I have been searching the Sentinel plane for this, but we are still searching.
I might have a solution to that.
If he turns and looks at you.
If we were able to find something of Dacian's personal belongings, something that was near to him often enough, I might be able to look into his past. If I can go far enough back, maybe I can find where he first started. I've never tried going that far. I don't know how old he is, per se, but it's something I could try looking into. I just need something of his that would have enough of his energy, his aura about it.
You see that Grimsh's eyes kind of like flashes through reds. He's clearly thinking, or someone is.
What would you need?
Just something with enough of his brand, his psionic energies, something of his that has that connection. It can't just be any old regular thing. It can't be one of his socks, per se, but something at least that was in some way connected to him in a meaningful enough way that he left an imprint on it.
Raw kind of like puts his thumb up kind of quietly towards the one who left earlier. Like not wanting to.
Emil looks over in that same direction and just nods once.
Perhaps. And only a maybe, perhaps.
Okay, so we have an idea how to find the anchor. I don't think he cares about physical things. I mean, he even just put the chalice in a dungeon instead of carrying it around with him. He doesn't really...
He didn't have like a cool hat or anything, like a trademark about them.
Squaw's traveled with Dayton for a couple of weeks. Like, did Dayton have anything about his person that like he seemed to stick to? You can answer
my
no.
Favorite tie.
Sure, roll a history check.
His favorite rubber Fuck ducky. It. I can see Dayton being the type that has
Actually,
a rubber ducky.
Yes, roll a history check. Yes, I've had an idea. Yes, roll a history check.
You're going to be sad because I'm pretty sure history is not
I'm
one
gonna
of my good skills.
I'm going to be sorry because this is going to effing kill me.
No, history is one of the skills I'm not good at.
I don't want you to get this, but there is a chance.
I do. Right. Just because it's funny.
Nah, it's just a 14.
Nah, I'm afraid not.
Unless somebody wants to give me an advantage on it, but I don't think anybody can.
You have inspiration.
I don't want to use it for this, but fuck it. Fuck it, I'll use it. Come on. Now that's a 7. Didn't even get
no,
better.
No memories at all. Sorry.
No problem. It was a long shot.
If I'm able to follow maybe on whatever Oop, fuck.
Sorry. What was that balance?
I knocked into something. My apologies.
Are you playing with coins, Lafayette?
Are you playing
no,
Warhammer or whatever?
No, my desk is a mess.
Did you break something of mine out there? I mean, the china is pretty expensive.
Fuck off, my desk is a mess. I was going to clean after this.
All right, sorry, go on.
Sorry.
Assuming that I can follow along the imprint or whatever it is that maybe he left on Dana, maybe that would work. She was very uncomfortable with the idea of me looking, but if I'm not looking at her per se, maybe it won't be such a bad thing and she'll let me do it then. I know this is a really weird time for me to be really cautious, but I'm trying not to be the person that's forcing things on people anymore. That's not me.
I think...
Roll a persuasion check.
Oh, it's Donald.
Just straight up?
It's Donald listening in?
Just a straight persuasion check. I'm not telling you who this is for.
You know what? I don't even care. I'm using my inspiration because that was utter bullshit.
Luck.
Don't you have
I
luck?
Don't have any more because we haven't luck a long rest yet.
Right. Yes.
That's awful.
Yes.
Try that again. It's not great either. It's a 13.
Okay. I'll bear that in mind.
Come on. He has advantage on that.
No, he doesn't.
With a right. Okay.
Carry on.
All right. So if we have a possibility of finding the anchor, the thing we don't want, even if we destroyed the anchor and then somehow destroyed Daechin, he just returned to the Blissful Eclipse. And we wouldn't have weakened them in any considerable form. If any, they could just maybe return him again. I don't know how difficult it is for them, but they might be able to. So I have an idea, and it's based on a lot of assumption, and that's why I needed so many people here. I had assumed there was something like an anchor. I am assuming there's some kind of magic that could block the Blissful Eclipse from looking in. If I understand correctly, whatever the people up north are doing, they seem to have been able to block everything on a massive scale. And I think the forge had something very similar going on at it.
It did.
If we can recreate that on a smaller scale and Lord Daechin in there, he might not be able to find the Blissful Eclipse to return to them, and he'd choose to return to his anchor. Now, if he doesn't have an anchor, he might be able to just wither around until he can find the Blissful Eclipse, which is why, and Squash looks towards Emil Scott. Emil, you have gone where souls go when they burn.
He looks down and looks not exactly pale, but a little like pinched lips.
Yes.
A place.
Why do I get the feeling I am not going to like what you are going to propose?
Could we put the anchor there? Force Daechin to recreate himself in a place of absolute nothingness. Absolutely and utterly.
Someone would need to take it with them. When I go to the ether, it's just my soul. To physically take something there.
He looks over at Grumsh and you see her. You see his eyes turn red. And you can see that they are communicating telepathically with one another. And he turns and looks back at you, Squash, and he says,
"It is possible, but you could get him to return to his anchor. I can take it to the ether with me, but I will require all of my soul to be with me."
Follow-up question, then, is that the smart move in this case?
I have a question.
Sure. What is it, Val?
If he tried to reform himself, Miracle would prevent it, right? If we were able to convince Miracle this was what needed to happen.
Miracle's not stronger than the Blissful Eclipse is the concern. And if the Blissful Eclipse really wanted to force their way through, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to.
See, I would like to know what the situation with Miracle is, though. Because if we can get their help to weaken or destroy Daechin, we might be able to do this not easy, but way easier than trying to destroy his physical form. Maybe Miracle is held back by the idea that if it destroys the hourglass, that the new one will be formed and then they will target Miracle. I'm going off on a thought.
Raul kind of looks over at Emil.
If the fault there's that even death, he is deaf.
If there's one thing I think Miracle knows well, it's the ways in which people avoid Miracle. And all of the hourglass stuff. So in any sense,
he kind of, Emil smiles and nods at you because he has done exactly that.
In any sense, we might be able to get some information about, you know, what we can do.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think this is something we should investigate further, look better into. I don't know how to phrase this.
If the Deity of Death themselves are able to locate this hourglass, if it is something in their possession, it might also help us find the anchor.
And he looks over at Lafian.
And then I could take both items into the ether. There will be no recreating, no second hourglass, no do-overs. All of it in one place, in a place where he cannot harm any of us.
Will you be okay?
That is irrelevant.
Lafian gives him a look like, really?
Really? What better than to have a guardian in the ether just in case anyone does attempt to reclaim him?
Irrelevant? You're not a Loxodon.
He bursts out into laughter and he looks over at Yseltana and he says,
sometimes some of us we have to make a choice on what our death means. And if it means that I can stop him.
Sorry,
it was the low-hanging fruit and it was beautiful.
Zoltana like looks sheepish and goes, it was getting real tense in here, so I thought I should make a joke. But
I appreciate it. And I appreciate the sentiment behind it. But if my continued existence means I get to stop something like Daechin from forever affecting our existence and guard the ether from those who wish to exploit it in the future, I am happy with that.
And again, you see that Grimsh and he just have like this very subtle psychic conversation.
You bring me meat from time to time, right, Grimsh?
Yeah, you know it.
You're gonna visit me, right? I mean, we're pals, yeah?
Fresh elf meat. No, wait. No, not that. Hold on.
Do it.
No.
But this is just an idea. Like, it's based on so many ifs and buts and assumptions.
Do you not trust the witch's ideas? Her instincts are magic.
And he, Grimsh, like, looks very heavily down on a Squash.
Squash dares back, like trying his absolute best to not like falter.
Cower.
But you can definitely see him like,
cower. Like
his shoulders like kind of pull back. He's like, he's not comfortable doing this, but he's trying his goddamn best. It's like, of course, but it requires finding the anchor. It requires finding the hourglass. It requires us finding Emil's soul. There are so many variables still. I'm saying that Emil does not have to, doesn't need to set his fate on that yet. It may not come to pass.
We could catch him. Ama's going to look, remember? We still might be able to do catching him again. So this is if that fails, we can do something. Worst case.
Yeah. I know it's dumb, but I think if Daechin is out and about on the day the blissful eclipse comes, it's gonna be so much worse for us. He's been here for years plotting, centuries plotting and setting up traps and things. And while I assume that most of them will go off without a hitch, some of them surely hinge on his power to activate them. I fear that we don't stand a fighting chance if Daechin is there to start the assault. I fear that Daechin would open it with something cataclysmic, something we can't even imagine. something centuries in the making.
Grumsh nods back.
The witch will attempt to make more webs when the full moon comes.
Thank you.
She does, however, require the alchemist stone she hopes is still in your possession.
Yeah, I think it's in the back somewhere. Let me just, try. And Squash goes into the back and brings out an alchemist stone, if I remember correctly.
Yep. As you put it out, Laffian, you recognize it as being Kythea's. Grumsh takes it and pockets it.
That's it, really. I know none of us thinks Daechin being free is important, but I think it might be almost the most important thing to make sure he's not. Maybe not more important than our mission, but...
We also have to worry about what he's up to right now and the time it takes us to, you know, figure it out. He has however long from now until we figure this out to stop us from doing anything. He has that long to make it worse.
Thanks to the actions of myself and the other six, we do not think he is aware of what you are owing. Zarissa, Torm, and a few of the others are making themselves slightly more visible to draw more attention away from you. The witch hopes you are considered insignificant in his eyes, and that you are done. A naive hope, but she holds it nonetheless.
He tried to spy us not long ago.
And if he goes to Shabak, there's statues. He might change his mind.
What?
Rawl's trying to say that we're big shots because we have a statue in one town.
Oh, okay, the chat there box, you
he'll
go.
See a statue of us and change his mind and be like, oh, maybe
be like,
they
oh,
are
shit,
important.
The big shots now.
I remembered about those three. I'll look into them more now because of the statue.
He's just walking through chat book and then like, sees the statue and like, why do I feel like I'm forgetting something? Oh, right, them!
And then we lose because of the statue they built.
The motherfuckers that put me in the bubble.
How could I forget? Oh, I've been so busy killing everybody. Scatterbrain! Anyway, meteor strike.
If Donna is open to it, I can attempt once tonight before taking my rest. If we wanted to see if I could locate the anchor now as opposed to later. That's entirely on her, though. I'm not forcing anything. As yeah. It is, it's going to hurt if I do try right now.
I'm guessing, therefore, that you do not wish to be teleported anywhere this evening.
Tomorrow morning.
I don't think we have the strength to fight anything if we do get teleported somewhere. Unless we decide to go to Belagbu, in which case I would love my own bed, but...
Decide quickly. The witch has places to be.
Tomorrow morning. And if I may be so... forward to say, I think we should do Belagbu next.
Fine.
With that, Grumsh stands up and...
Oh, Squash wasn't even looking at Grumsh. He was looking at Laffian.
Grumsh just fucking GTFO'd, man.
Yeah, okay. I was more sorry. A question for Arch. Like, if you're okay with it, Squash does not feel okay with go to the stalking right now. He had one thing for those people to do.
We have a good bit of info on that one, so, just, you know, it's...
All right.
That's not my concern. One of you talk to Donna. I'm not... I already said my piece to her, and she... I don't know. If you want me to look for the anchor tonight, I can do it once. It's going to hurt, but I can do it, assuming that everything works as planned.
I've already asked so much of Donna... I don't think it's wise for me to ask more of her.
I agree.
And Emil, like, looks at you kind of very pointedly.
Squash does not stand under the stair and looks away.
This one he cows under.
If you excuse me, I have other things to look into. You know where I'll be if you need me. Good night and good luck.
Oh, is everybody gone?
That's us.
Comes in. It's like a tea tray. Puts it down in front of everyone. Yeah. There's a couple of biscuits.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Starts munching on a biscuit and some tea.
Squash actually gets kind of excited seeing the biscuits that goes for them.
Oh, wait. Okay, hold on a second, because I have to clarify, because I forget that this means different things, different country. Biscuits or cookies?
I'm imagining
cookies.
Okay. Gross. All right.
Oh, she's shaking her head. What do you think biscuits are, V?
Biscuits are like the sukalave cakes that we have. That's a biscuit.
Oh, yeah, like
No. We're not going into this argument right now.
I need to
clarify for our American listeners.
All right. Shit that you dip in your tea or your coffee and they're sweet. They are called biscuits.
Neither.
They are not cakes. They're biscuits.
You dip cookies in milk. Right. You don't dip it in tea and coffee.
Squash is dipping whatever Aether thinks the cookies are into his tea.
There is a variety of cookies and biscuits, okay? Decide what the fuck you want. So are you all had enough today or you had enough another day?
In the morning.
Not that I've really got much to get on with, but all right.
I guess Raul will stand up and pull her aside. I guess away from everyone to be a little more delicate.
Yeah, that's fine. You could join her in the kitchen or something. Like she's just bustled back to go get more cake or something.
Raul just starts washing dishes.
Oh, no, that's all right, my lovely. You don't need to help me clean up.
It's fine. I know you're not having an easy time. So whatever we can do.
No, I kind of think I might be a bit more of a liability than I ever going to be a help.
No.
I mean, I was once already, so I don't want to do that again.
Well, just while you're thinking about all of, we think you might be able to help us find him. Find not only him, but the thing that keeps him from coming back.
She stops cleaning whatever she's cleaning and then very slowly puts it down and looks back at you.
And I know he hurt you. I don't think that's going to happen again. Not if we can get rid of him, especially.
I'm just really scared. I got so lost. And I hurt people there are people I care about, and I hurt their friends. I'm not sure I'm okay with someone taking over. Is this really the best thing that I can do? Do you think?
You know that wasn't you.
Sure felt like it.
I think this is, if this works, who knows? It's a shot in the dark, but if it keeps him from hurting anyone else,
She nods.
We should stop him.
Okay.
And
okay.
The people down here and we will help you.
Let's just get this over with. I've been through. I birthed 3 kids. This is nothing. She kind of puts the tea towel down and walks into the kind of living room. And
Ron gives her a hug.
She hugs you back. It's a really long hug. And you can tell that she's really scared. But yeah. As soon as she breaks away, you see that she has that like grim determination on her face. And she walks into the living room, Ral not far behind, and she says, All right. What do you need me to do?
Are you willing to have Lafayette try to walk through?
How about we just get on with this and don't tell me too much more about it, because I'm already shitting myself, all right?
Okay, all right. That's fine. No, that's fine. Lafayette just immediately is like, okay. And he just sits down and like gestures for her to sit like in front of him.
All right.
Okay, so I'm not going to be delving into anything of yours, actually. Now that we've had our discussion, I actually have a better idea of where to look.
Right,
so I'm not touching anything of yours. All I need you to do is open yourself up to me, and I'm going to just try to follow a thread that's not yours, but it's connected to you. I know that makes right. no sense. It's really
nope, but
it's a psychic thing.
All right. She looks very confused, but she still has a smile on her face.
And don't mind the way I'm going to look when I start doing this. I didn't exactly have time to rest. Okay. Lafayette puts a single hand out just in front of her face so that like his palm is like right in front of her forehead. And he, because he doesn't have the psi points any other way, he has to use his consumptive power.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's metal as shit. Yep.
For all of y'all in the room, you basically see him go super fucking pale and blood just starts trickling out of the corner of his eyes, his nose. This is a lot of power it requires.
Jesus.
And he does not look good.
Dana cannot see this because your hand is in front of her face.
Yeah, that was kind of part of it. That's, yeah. She probably just sees his palm getting real sweaty. Knees yes. weak, arms are heavy.
Oh, no.
I couldn't resist it. I couldn't.
Neil, delete that.
No, you keep that in. People need to know I can make music references again. So yeah, he's gonna do the thing. And I can only do it the once. What do you need me doing here, V? It's been a long ass time since I've had to do this shit.
Alright, you're trying to do the kind of looking back into time thingy?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let me bring up your character sheet. You have no health? You have no anything left? Great. Great.
Oh, actually, I do
time for an assassin attack.
Hang on a sec, because that was 21 that I just spent, so that would put me at 78, and that also comes off of my max HP.
Jesus. Mm.
Even better. Yes. Sorry.
If we get jumped tonight, I am... Well, actually, I still have a little bit of stuff.
Don't worry.
You actually have a specific thing that allows you to look back sometime, don't you?
That one only goes back 24 hours.
If you want to go back further, then it's a third of your psi points.
Yep, which I just deducted from my HP.
Right, and it's basically the same check as your 24-hour one.
So I'm just doing an intelligence check?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me just...
Hang on, because I remember you gave me a handout, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I gave you a handout for it.
Oh, extended vision. Here it is.
There you go.
Now, he does have the cooperation of the participant.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help me out?
All right, how much of your side points are you dumping... Sorry, how many... Is it more than a third that you're dumping in there?
If I can do that with my HP, then I will do it.
Yeah, the more that you can dump in it, the further back that you can look, or the more detailed of a vision that you can get.
Oh, if then I think when Lafayette starts kind of bleeding and looking like he's losing a lot of energy, Squash is going to mm-hmm. come up behind him and put his hand on him, and I'm going to cast Cure Wounds to give him a little bit...
Haven't you used all of your spell slots?
I actually have one second level spell slot left.
But it's not going to do anything.
It's max health, right?
It takes max HP.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I was loving the idea of us all dumping healings on you. And you
it's
could
essentially...
I'll double it, actually. No, I'll drop 42 health.
Okay, it is essentially just an intelligence check. I know the DC written on your extended vision is 18, but this is Daichin, so I am actually going to up the DC. Not significantly higher, but a little higher. It's going to be rough. Like, yeah.
Okay. Great.
All right, let's do it. And check.
Oh, God. All right. I can't look. Is it good?
I don't want to look.
Is it?
Does it look too bad?
Of course it looks bad. That's a 17. That's not even the 18, which is the minimum requirement. I will, however, bend and say that, yes, she is willing to help you out to look for the thread, so you may roll again. I'll allow that as an advantage.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Because I'm in a good mood.
All right.
Derp.
Did it go through?
It went through.
It's a 19.
On a 19, you reach out to Dana and you see this dark series of threads that are surrounding her. Some of them, most of them cut even. Like, you can see the effects that have been upon her. But you see one that seems to be thicker than the rest, and you reach out and you grab onto it, and you leave Dana far behind. You chase it all around Discora to many, many places. You see many more rune sites than the two that you are made aware of. And then you find yourself in a forest, somewhere in the middle of Discora, you think. Maybe not quite as far north as Kuzak itself. You find yourself in this forest. You find this small town in a forest. And as you look around, as you travel around this, following this thread, you find that it leads underground. And then as you try and follow it further down into the caverns below, you find yourself just pushed back, repelled. And as you find yourself flinging your way back towards your real body, you see Damaz and you see Ninverna making their way towards that town. You didn't get enough, but you got something.
Okay. As soon as Laffian like bounces back into his body, he like recoils from the shock, and I'm gonna say he probably like topples backwards and is just laying on the floor.
Oh no! And she reaches out, she grabs you and stops you from completely falling to the ground. Alright, I'm gonna lower you down.
Okay.
Not have you banging your head or nothing. Oh my god. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do whatever I just did.
No,
I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
That was not you.
You are looking a little bit pale. How about we go open some windows? You get a nice spot. You, Raoul, go make a hot cup of tea with some sugar in it. Squash, if you go to my bedroom, there's some blankets in there. And Zoltan, if you can help me get them on the couch. Come on, up you get.
Okay.
You got it.
I need a towel or something.
She mums the shit out of the situation.
I feel like I'm covered in blood. He like looks down and sees it just like blood on his like, he's like, oh, sorry.
Don't you worry about that, my lovely. Let's get you cleaned up. And she puts her hand on your chest and you see a very small amount of magic, and she prestidigitates the kind of the blood off of your shirt and begins to dab at your ear a little.
Thank you. Zoltana?
Yeah, what's up?
I need you to do me a really big favor.
Okay, what's up?
I need you to work your godliness and reach out to Damaz and Inverna and let them know that they're going into a hornet's nest.
All right. Should I roll a religion check or what?
I'm going to say that your connection to Damaz is pretty fucking solid because you have kind of made Damaz your receptionist when you're on other planes of existence. And he is your first paladin and also Det's first paladin. So I'm going to say that you can basically send messages backwards and forwards every now and then without too much worry. And this is one that you could do fine.
All right. I send him that message. Five words, right?
Nope. You can just send a short message. It's fine. Don't worry about the numbers. Just, you are his deity after all.
Just let them know that where they're going, Daichin in some way has made it his anchor point It's I couldn't see exactly where, but there was a thread leading in whatever town it is that they found.
All right. I tell them that, and then I look at him and I'm like, do you need a healing?
It's not going to do much. I need a very good long rest. That took a lot out of me.
Can I try to use my godly power to like clear his mind a little bit?
Yes. What godly power? What's like, is there a specific mechanic you're trying to use, or are you just godding at him?
I'm just godding at him. I guess I'm trying to use lay on hands in a way that it's not meant to do because I'm a god, like a godling. So like lay on hands is supposed to heal you, but I want to just give him the benefits of like a short rest with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll allow that. Fuck yeah. Yes, absolutely. Fuck yes. You reach out and you try something new on Laffian, and yeah, you feel something. I'm not exactly akin to peace because that's not Zoltana's bag. But you do feel like that. Yeah. You feel that kind of like sometimes clarity that you get with pure rage, and you just feel that temporarily, and you feel your mind begin to click back into place and your body have a little bit more energy enough to begin to heal itself in the way that you are used to. Yeah, you can have the effects of a short rest, and you can roll hit dice to gain back some of that like temporary HP loss you had.
That doesn't do anything.
You would gain back some health on your maximum that you lost.
Would I?
That's what I'm telling you it's doing.
Okay.
Sultana has something cool and rad, so fuck yes.
I mean, at that point, hang on, let's just see how many hit dice I have to roll to start with 7. One more.
Close enough.
That puts me 1 off of.
Perfect.
Good enough.
Absolutely perfect. Yep. Yeah, in the course of about 6 seconds, this clarity of rage, you just feel your body begin to naturally heal itself. And then that anger dissipates and you are looking at Zoltana, who has done something yet again fucking rad with being a god. I love it so much.
Oh, I saw red for a moment there and it wasn't just my blood, I think. Okay, thank you. I think,
name of the episode.
Right. Okay. Moment of clarity. So, yes, I sort of kind of maybe found where his anchor is. I couldn't tell per se. It was that town where they're going. There's a cavern somewhere underneath there. The caverns, plural. There was some sort of barrier that knocked me out. I couldn't get a full glimpse of it, but I saw that Damaz and Inverna were heading there, so I don't want them going in alone. If we can send reinforcements, I would feel a lot more comfortable. I don't know who we have to pull from, but I do not think that the two of them are going to be enough as is.
Okay. I send them a message letting them know, and then I kind of get up and walk towards the Tears army.
Does Zoltana have any followers around that area that Damaz could pull from?
Not really.
Nah.
What about Opella?
Not really.
I'm going to Tyr's army because they kind of know. So I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to go to the father. What's his face?
He kicked the bucket.
Right. Who's in charge now? Is it Benno? No, Benno wouldn't be in charge. He's not a priest.
No. You don't exactly know who's in charge anymore, except that they were at the Temple of the Triad, but the Temple of the Triad kind of got broken apart when the whole world went a bit kablooey with the last god death. Not 100% sure, but at least Elise and Tuck would be your best bets for figuring out who is in charge of that now.
So,
as you mentioned Damaz's name, Dana says,
"Well, Damaz is head of the lodge. Maybe his people might go help him.
That's
let him know.
Really good idea. I'm going to go to the lodge instead then."
There is kind of a very small outpost of the lodge here. It isn't really a thing. It's more like a, hey, there's one dude who mans the shop and occasionally sends messages back. There is someone here that you could probably speak to.
So I go to that guy and I explain the situation and I'm like, can you, do you think that the you could get some of your people to go there and help?
Master of the lodge? Point us where he's at. If he's in trouble, we got to make sure he doesn't die.
I give them an explanation of like how to get there.
Okay. You get the idea that this guy is in fact sending and is speaking, like he's writing down very rapidly. He appears to have some sort of magics. It's not unusual to have someone with magics in the lodge, but it's not like their mainstay group of people. This guy seems to have sent some messages out and you can see that he's beginning to shut up shop and like grab weapons and stuff. Like, well, I guess I better... Sorry. I guess I'm going to grab some horses and make my way there. I think I might be the closest.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I'm going to see... You know what? I'm going to send some people with you also. Hold on one second. I'll have them meet you at the horse. Where are you going to get the horse? I'll have them meet you there.
Right, yeah. The stables has been mostly built up again. I'll see who we can requisition and buy more mounts for. All right, tell your person to meet me there.
It's going to be two people, so get two more horses. And then I'm going to go get Elise and Tuck.
Yes. Elise and Tuck, I will say, are probably somewhere in this chaos. It takes you a little time to find them, but they are actually down moving those rocks and the rubble. And as you get down there, you can see that, some of their seven are still working away. And for sure, Elise and Tuck are now sort of like, you can see them helping out. Tuck's not moving the biggest rocks in the world, but he is doing his best.
I run over to them and I explain the situation. And I'm like, I need you guys to go with them. I think you could really be helpful.
Yeah, of course. Yes, we can do that. Damas seems like a nice guy. Yes. Okay, just be super careful, right?
Yes, yeah, super, super careful.
I might know a way of keeping us hidden.
That would be great.
Leave that to me.
Go meet.
You say we're meeting.
Yeah, by a guy. The stables. I describe the guy.
Okay.
He's Elise tall. He's got hands. Tuck. He's got feet.
Wow.
He's wearing.
He might be some sort of mage.
He has hair.
I know that one.
Elbows, knees.
Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes.
He's got a neck.
I'm dying.
It has not been cut off.
Okay.
Oh, wait, wrong one.
Gotcha. Human, stables, horses, Damas and Inverna heading somewhere north. Okay, I gotcha. And she gives you like a really big hug and Tuck just comes over and like pats you, like reaches up and pats you on the elbow sort of area.
I tell you what, while they're just in there continuing their little meeting, I should probably do the outro, right? Just want to say thank you to Jack, who is the Kid of Derps, Mary Chase, TJ Judkins, and Mirka. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that all right. See, they're newest patrons of ours, and they keep me well supplied in tea and biscuits, so thank you all very much. Our new patrons. You're about to hear an ad for Dice and Desire, which will be coming probably when these lot leave, because I don't want to be rude, but the ad's really, it's really good, and I want to spend some time listening to it. We also want to say a huge thank you to my friend Dagger and to my friend Jay for voicing Groopsh, who was a little bit terrifying sitting in my humble little front room, and Jay for voicing Emil, lovely as always. What a wonderful chap. A little bit terrifying that he's a lich, but thank you. Mostly, just want to say thank you for listening. And if you want to leave a message for these lovely folks who's doing all this big planning in the other room, you know, hopefully not drawing me too much into it, it would be great if you leave them like a little review or something, like on something called iTunes or your Spotify's or your whatever podcast apps that means you can, or you can just tell your friends about it. That'd be pretty cool. Oh, I think that, I think I'm probably getting drawn back in it. I don't really want to be, but... Whew, big things going on in there.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits to Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.